these aren't. You've seen the frustration overlaps with the chronic cystase. He is now into the gangster mode.
No, I'm just light. A victory light. Victory Light.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy, the Camaro, man. This is Victory Light. So Human Durag, baby. You know why? Because I keep it wavy. This is a very wavy environment that we're in today. You know what I'm saying? We are at Awake, the flagship. You know what I'm saying? Right here on Orchard Street. You know what I'm saying? And I am with Angelo Baquet and my guy, Hugo Mendoza.
What up?
You know what I'm saying? Queens
what up?
In the building. Bronx is in the building. Don't forget it. You know what I mean? Welcome, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for coming through, man. Oh, matter of fact, thank you for having me.
Well, I was about to be like, thank you for pulling up, finally. You know what I mean? Appreciate you, yeah, man.
Dog, and it was crazy because we were saying off mic, like, how, like, my studio's over there, and I just pulled up here a bunch of times, like, thinking, like, yo, you just be here, like, just hanging out.
Most people think that. I mean, there's some days that you might catch us here just chilling. Yeah. I'm a shop guy. And that's part of the reason, one of the main reasons why I wanted to open up a store is to be able to pretty much take all my shop experience and put it in a space, right? Like you said, you came in here and you felt like you were home. And that's really what I wanted to accomplish, you know, have something that you can emotionally connect to. You don't know why.
Right.
Right? You might call out, like you said, the JA tags or...
Like, I smell the incense, bro. I'm like, okay. I was like, I'm here. Like,
yeah.
I'm in my room. Every graffiti writer knows everybody that came to your crib, tagged the back of your door, your closet, or some shit. And I always like to say, like, graffiti was social media before social media. Because it could be like, yo, I'm from East Tremont in the Bronx, and I'm going out to Suffpin Boulevard, which I've never been there in my life, but I'm taking the train out there because there's a graffiti dude out there who wants to link up and go hit the 7 Line.
Oh, also, it was a good way to tell either, A, you were boosting in the neighborhood, or you were visiting a shorty, because then I would see like a random Merrill tag on Liberty Avenue. I'm like, what the fuck is this motherfucker doing? Like, I know you from the Bronx, you know, so you must have a girl out here.
Right.
Or you boosting in the neighborhood or something like that.
You're going to burn my Rite Aid, bro.
Yeah.
You got to get out of here. Yo, you took all the hydroxy cup,
bro. There's a Similac shortage at the Dwayne Reed.
Yo, I don't know about the powders, you know what I'm saying? And the bumpies. Listen, that is all very high level, you know what I'm saying, shit, but we'll get into that. But, like, talking about, like, your experiences and, like, you know, putting together the store, like, bro, your resume is, like, bro, Nom de Guerre, like Supreme, like interning at 100,000 different places.
Yeah.
You tell me, matter of fact, because I'm like, the list is too exhaustive.
Well, I mean, it started back in 96. I worked at Canal Jean Company on Broadway. Then I worked at Urban Outfitters. And then I got my first internship at The Source magazine. Then I worked at The Fader magazine with Jeff Staple. And then I was really broke in the year 2000. And I asked Jeff, because The Fader didn't want to pay. Right? They refused to pay, not even a daily stipend, like $50 to get a meal. And he was like, well, let me introduce you to this guy, James Jebbia. And he still had the store on Prince Street. He's like, they're about to move to Worcester. And I know they need kids to part-time. So I went in, this is the most, like, never had an interview like this before. I was like, hey, I'm Angelo. And he looked at me up and down. He was like, I'll call you. Didn't look at my resume, just looked at the fit. And then the next day he was like, be in front of the store at 7 a.m. And the rest is history.
Doug, that is such a New York thing, bro.
Yeah.
Because it's like, for people that remember parties and clubs and shit pre-bottle service, that's what it was. It was like the guy at the door was like, ah, you valid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? It didn't matter how much money you had, who you was. Like, do you fit the aesthetic of what's going on in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's super huge. Another thing that you guys, well, I say you guys because we got Queens, we got the Bronx in the building. I feel like people that are not from New York City see New York City as like kind of this like monolithic, like whole flat thing where there's very specific things about the Queens, about Queens, and there's very, I said the Queens because I was ready to say the Bronx.
The Queens.
Bronx.
By the way, that's some slick talk you try to do right there. I'm not going to have no Queens disrespect.
No, I hear that shit. Listen, we getting jumped in here. Except us. So it's not going down like that. And Francis, it always goes back to
the bridge is over. The bridge is over.
What about mine?
Okay, guys, I get it.
That was in the 80s, guys. Yeah. It's about to be 2026. But there is something that is very specific to each borough that I kind of want to talk to you. Like, Hugh, I'll ask you first, man, because it's like, I know, like, the Bronx is like a very specific vibe, energy. Mm-hmm. When you go to Brooklyn, it feels different. When you go to Queens, it feels different. You still feel like, yo, I'm in New York, but it's just like, yo, we in Queens now, or we in Brooklyn now. As a Bronx dude, what is something that you bring to, like, awake? You know what I mean? That is very specifically Bronx.
I mean, I will say my attitude, you know? Like, just wherever we go, it's like people ask me where I'm from, and I'm like, I'm from the Bronx, and they're like, oh, I could tell. Which is like, I don't know what that is exactly, but...
Me neither.
Yeah, I'm like...
It's been 15 years.
I'm like, I don't know what that is exactly, but yeah, I would just say my attitude, you know? Like, we could be in any room and just like pulling up and we here.
We here. So,
yeah.
No weirdo shit.
Yeah, like,
I'm
exactly.
just saying, I'm from the block. I'm on the block anywhere I go.
Yeah.
Like, And for Queens, because Queens is like, you know, the world's borough, right? Like the most diverse, like there's so much input that you're getting from everywhere, you know?
The diversity plays a big part because I grew up in South Richmond Hill. So my neighborhood, and it still is, it's a predominantly West Indian neighborhood, right? So there was the island influence, there was the influence that was going on within my house and then school. But always, like, I remember, like, there was, like, a time when it went from, like, picking boogers and kind of, like, not taking showers, like that, like real boy shit, like in the fourth grade, to like, yo, girls are kind of cute, and I kind of got to like dress properly, right? And that's I want to say that's like when the Jordan 3s came out, like, and as much as like KRS dissed us, like I wanted to be KRS-One / Big Daddy Kane / Slick Rick. That was like, yo, those dudes are fly, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be fly, you know? And then it just kind of like, it was like a ripple effect through all the boroughs, but I think when people think of guys from Queens, is like, we're pretty boys. Like, that's always been like, they use it as a diss, right?
Right.
But also, it's a compliment. Yeah, I like to look good, you know?
As a Bronx dude, and tell me if this is true, I feel like Queens dudes were always seen as like, what you're saying, but also like, yo, they got their shit together, bro. Out of my whole crew, like the first dudes that had like cars.
Yeah, I was gonna say cars is the biggest thing.
You know what I'm saying?
All like my homies from Queens had licenses at like 16 and shit. Like
yo, I got my permit. I'm like, bro, permit, bro. I'm on the back. I'm holding onto the back of the 42 bus like Jim Jones in the Let Me Know video. Like, you feel me? Like, you got an Acura?
Yeah,
like, what facts. The fuck? How the fuck do you do that?
Yeah, so I would credit that to, shout out to my Filipinos. I think the Filipinos really set that up. Filipinos and the West Indians, right? So, but I think Filipinos, a lot of my Filipino friends, when they turned 16, it was kind of like their bar mitzvah. So they would get either a pair of Technique 1200s or a Honda.
Oh.
Like, I feel like that was the, you know, which path you're going to take. Right. You know what I'm saying? You're going to try and join the 5th Platoon, or you're going to be fucking doing some Tokyo drifting on the BQE. Right. You know, so like also because most of us come from two fare zones.
Yep.
The car was essential to everything, right? If you want to go shopping, if you want to date, you want to get laid, you know, it's just like, it is like one degree of all those things can come true if you had a whip.
If you have a whip.
And it didn't matter what kind of, you didn't need anything fancy. Like, it was just, so long as it ran, like, you're good.
A to B. A to B, bro. Yo, listen. If you want to wet your dick, you got to get on the van. That's the Queens limerick.
Yo,
for the record,
Meryl said that, and I hear, you know, we're all loving, all excited. It's a safe space, 62 Orchard Street. We love you.
Yeah. But out of borough kids bringing their energy downtown. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was a pianos terrorist. Like, I would throw the Steep Tech on, bro, the gold bottoms, straight backs, get in the car, People's Choice. I don't know if y'all remember the OJs. This is pre-Uber, when you had a call and there's the guy going, or you call Mamadou and he pulls up in the Expedition, and then he lets you smoke dust in the car.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Until y'all get downtown. But it was, we were bringing all of that shit downtown. Like, the Bronx shit, like, the Queens shit, the Brooklyn shit, everybody was kind of, like, converging on downtown. So then you get, you know, situations like I mentioned, Kool-Aid, like, you know, like Iraq, where it's just, like, a crew of kids that's, like, this kid is a film student, and this kid is, like, a Dominican kid from Uptown, and this kid is from Queens, and this kid is, like, a very mixed bag of people that you get down here. And when, like, personally speaking, I would come down here just to be like, yo, like, this shit is different. Like, it's different than just being in front of your building, drinking fucking Paul Masson, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I got friends that never went past 125th, you know, like, that would never... will come down here and they'll be like, yo, like, Hugo, I go back to the Bronx and they'll be like, yo, Hugo's on that Soho shit. Like,
you know what I'm
saying? Like, he's on that Soho shit, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like, yeah, I came down here because one, girls, two,
facts,
music, you know what I'm saying? And also just meeting like-minded people, you know, like, that was also on the same shit that I was on, so.
And it's a beautiful, that's New York City. Like, because I was talking about, like, the outer boroughs and, like, how people view New York City as, like, kind of like this flat HBO show type of thing.
Yeah.
But that is very New York City because, you know, spots like, you know, like Manitoba's, that's, like, straight, like, punk, hardcore bar. I'm in there, bro, with straight backs and a steam check on.
Yeah.
Vibing. Because what? Because so-and-so writes graffiti and they in here, so we in here.
Yeah.
And, man, that, I feel like that makes New York, New York. I feel like when people look at something like Awake, that's what they see. Like, they see, like, yo, this is Queens, Bronx, Brooklyn, like, distilled into one place. Because, like I said, bro, I came here, I smelled the incense, bro. I felt like I was walking into, like, the one free crib. Like, you know how it is, man. When you're growing up, like, if somebody, somebody got a free crib, we out of here at lunch, fourth period, we go into Jose's crib because... it's a free crib. There's nobody
there.
No parents is there. We go over there. We go drink and smoke.
The hooky jam house.
Or, this is crazy, but like it's a running joke. I'm like, bro, the one kid that you go to their house and they're like, yo, nah, my parents is cool. We could smoke a hand. We could do whatever. And then you look at the parents, you're like, oh, your parents are heads.
Yeah.
Your parents are fiends. That's why they're so cool. They nodding off on the couch. You sitting here watching Price is Right. Siphon is White Owl.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Man. Like,
yo. But you know what I'm saying? Like, talking about wanting to be fly. Like, there was a point in life where you wanted to be fly, and you said it was around
fourth grade? Yeah.
What was that point for you, Hugo?
Probably eighth grade when I got my first job and I started, like, actually making money. I used to work at the Yankee Stadium and I was probably the only kid in my school who didn't have a job through the summer program. So I was getting paid, like, I think at the time minimum wage was like $7. I was making $10 an hour at the Yankee Stadium. So I was balling. Like, I would get out of work on payday and, like, hop on the D train, go come down here, blow it up, and then go to school on Monday, just fly as fuck. So yeah, I would say probably like eighth grade. Like,
were y'all the fly guys in school, like, coming up, or was that something that you developed? Because I always was like the clown. Like, every yearbook I've ever been in, it was like, class clown, Joel Martinez, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, shut the fuck up, nigga, just do your work. Like, stop saying the teacher got hairy back. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that. But for y'all, was it like, yo, I always have, like, this idea?
I wasn't. Like, I mean, I went to school with so many dudes who sold drugs. Like, they were just like...
You can't keep up?
Yeah, they were pulling up so fresh. Like, it was pellies and shit. And, like, but, nah, I wasn't. I was, like, I was very timid, if you could believe that. And in middle school and shit. But, yeah, I was never really the fly guy. I did get fly, though. Like, I had... My shit was shoes. Like, I would just have mad shoes when I was growing up. Like, and then just a white tee and some, like, Rockin' Republics and shit or some shit like that. But, yeah, nah. It took a minute.
Hell no. Nah, not at all. Yeah. Which I'm grateful for because pretty much, like, the dudes that I looked up to, I thought was super cool in high school, they peaked.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
They peaked. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They peaked. Like, they had every girl from every grade, you know what I'm saying? Like, from every borough, like, and they peaked. Like, they're literally, like, bald and fat today. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm glad. Like, it really honestly didn't happen to me till, like, my late 20s when I finally, like, built confidence, you know, and stopped giving a fuck what other people thought. You know, because a lot of my wardrobe was dictated on, like, what is Hugo like? What is Merit like? Do you know, who am I? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't know about your, because I'm a little older than you, I believe, right?
I'm 42.
I'm 47. So I don't know about your generation, like, not that it's your generation, you're 20 years apart.
Well, yo, but honestly, in New York City, a high school class is
big.
Like,
it's
a decade.
Big. Yeah, it's big. So we used to trade and borrow. Right. Oh. So like some of my Flyers gear was like my best friend Scott's. Like, he lent me his high tech jacket.
Yep. Yeah.
I remember in 93 and I was like the man for 2 weeks because I had a Polo high tech jacket. It wasn't mine. You know what I'm saying? Had my cousin Jesse, you know, he would give me his Polo sports shit and I would trade him my Hilfiger shit. You know, so like I never, you know, like some of my friends that, you know, that are part of the graffiti crew I'm down with, like they got those photos. Like they were the dudes. Like, shout out to my boy Kel 5MH, you know what I'm saying? Like, he, like,
5MH,
yeah, Kel 5MH, like I look at his high school photos, I'm like, damn, I'm jealous. He had the fronts, he had every P-wing, stadium, plates, you name it, you know, like, I never fronted that. Like, that was definitely not my high school experience, you know what I'm saying?
Yo, for me, I think it was like seventh grade, eighth grade, because it was like you're saying, like, yo, like, not that I'm not interested in girls, because, bro, I'm Dominican. My pops is like, mira, tú tienes novia. like, I'm coming home from my first day of kindergarten. He's like, tú tienes novia. Yeah. I'm like, bro, I'm 5 years old. I was like, I don't even know. Like, I've only seen genitals on a Barbie. I don't know what we're talking about. But, like, once you start to, you know, like, yo, yeah. Look fresh for shorty, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. But in a very Bronx graffiti way, like everything was North Face. Mm. Everything was North Face. Everything was Spider, the Tommy Moe. If you know, the Tommy Moe, Spider, classical. You know what I'm saying? Like things like that, like Vast Boots, you know what I'm saying? Like the Dolomites, like, like to me it was like a lot of outerwear. Because like you're saying, like you could always just go cop a white tee from the corner store, like, from Mamadou and them, like, you know what I mean? Get 10 of these shits and then switch up your kicks and your hat. You got a whole fresh outfit.
Yeah.
I think that's why fatigue shorts are so popular in the Bronx. Because you can sit outside all day in them shits and they don't look dirty.
you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Oh, but what is like cross-generational appeal, right? Because like, again, like I'm growing up and I'm seeing like, you know, Brad and these guys like rollerblading with the K2s and shit, and they're wearing the JNCO jeans and I feel like shit like that is coming back. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, what is something that was fly that is is resurfacing as fly?
I think back to kind of like what Hugo's answer about attitude. I think it's just the attitude. I think because during the pandemic, there was a mass exodus out of the city that it made room for this next generation that's kind of like, I would say like 16 to 24 to kind of leave their neighborhoods and come back downtown and have the freedom to be whatever the fuck they want. You know, like I always say this, like if there's anything that I'm jealous of this generation is the freedom of expression that they have. So back to your question about outer borough kids coming downtown, for my generation, like 5 years is a big difference, right? Like, we were forced to come downtown if we liked anything alternative, because if you liked anything alternative, like skateboarding or fucking BMXing, you're gay, right?
Yeah,
and you'll get your ass kicked.
You white. That's some white.
Yeah, that's a white thing, right? That's a white boy shit. So like, you know, you couldn't talk about those things on the block.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like my friends didn't want to hear that shit. So like, you're saying, like back to like-minded people, like you were forced to go to places like Bobbito's Footwork or Fat Beats or even Canal Jean Company or sitting on the ledge in front of Armani Exchange waiting for other kids. Soho's that now RIP, you know, Scrapyard, they're gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I met some of my closest friends, by just holding a black book, even though you might get hurt.
You
might get hurt holding a black book. You know, but you might meet somebody else that's timid and be like, yo, can I hit your black boy? Like, oh, where you from? You know, that's how I met one of my closest friends, Bizarre. He's from Canarsie. Then he took me to Canarsie to the projects out there. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, that's how I started traveling through the city, because if I would have stayed in my neighborhood, And no disrespect to the people that chose this path, but I would have ended up working at JFK in duty free so I could get that whip when I was 16.
Yep.
And then end up in my mother's basement with a pregnant girlfriend at 18. Like that was my generation. That was like the Queen's traditional trajectory in life.
But with the M4 in the driveway.
Exactly. With the M4, with the vanity plate.
With the vanity plate.
With the vanity plate.
Yeah.
Suck on this. You know, like. Yeah,
Sport, like on the decal on the back.
Yeah, I refuse that, you know, and I always talk about this too in interviews, like shout out, I had an older sister, 6 years older than me, so she brought me down here in 88.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So like, I already had a peek into what downtown life was, and I was like, this shit's weird. I don't know how to put words to it, I identify it, but I want a piece of this the minute I turned 12 or 13, which is what happened. I started sneaking on the A-train coming down here. 12, 13 years old, eating at the McDonald's by the cage. You know what I mean?
Yes. So it was your older sister for you. Was there somebody older? You have an older sibling, cousin, whatever, that was like, yo,
nah.
Put you on.
I think for me, it was one, act like coming down here, and then two, like the internet, you know? Like, because once I started like looking on the internet, that's what, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it was, at you know, but I think like also just like magazines, I feel like Complex was like one of the ones that, you know, I was actually like going to the magazine shop and like looking into the fucking issues and shit. But I think, yeah, it was just actually just living it and like coming down here and being down here and like really just diving into everything and, you know, finding out for myself, like going to parties and like seeing what is like, what music people are listening to, what DJs are playing. And actually also, you know, that's when I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. Like, you know, like I want to be in this, whatever this is, like, this is what I want to do. Yeah, like, this is what I want to do. At the time, I didn't think I was going to get to it, but like, you know, I was like, I always knew, like, every shitty job I had, I was like, you know what, man, like, one day.
It's just a stepping stone.
One day. But, yeah.
When did you realize, like, yo, it's over for them shitty jobs, baby. Like, was it Angela calling you, like,
I think when I started
type shit, or?
When I started working at Stussy in the shop, like, I moved through that company really quickly. Like, you know, I started as a store manager, and then, like, 2 years in, like, they were flying me out to, like, Paris and, like, London and all this shit. And I think that's when I realized, like, all right, cool, like, you know, where I don't know where this is gonna take me, but you know, and I thought I was gonna be there forever, honestly. Like, I thought I was gonna be there forever, and then, you know, just like when Angelo called and I was like, we sat down and the first thing he told me is like, yo, like, ownership, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is like, this thing is like ours, you know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, that's when I was like, all right, cool, peace. Peace out. Yeah, and also I also just wanted to work at a brand that's like from New York, for New York, that, you know, we could really just sit down and like do whatever we want and no one's gonna question it because we're from here.
A victory light. A victory light.
And it's real.
Yeah.
Because that's what I always like, yo, like Min and I have had this conversation and it's just like, I feel like a lot of, you know, like, brands or artists, creators, whatever you want to call it, like, they'll just, this, I call it like a bucket, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's a nostalgia bucket. And it's very specific to guys our age. It's graffiti, it's skateboarding, it's like hip hop, it's like polo, it's North Face, it's like all these things. But it really was like more so like graffiti culture,
mm-hmm.
like boosting, all that type of shit, like wrapped into one. And I feel like some brands will just like, yo, we don't know what to do. Let's go back to that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, when people do it, that like, and you could tell it's like, all right, bro, like the vision behind this was just like, yo, let's just make some bread. It wasn't like, yo, this reminds me of da 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 da. You know what I mean? This reminds me of that one time I went boosting in Westport and I had this same Steep Tech on and I got ran down on. And I ran out of the store and there was a mannequin with a mountain guide on it. And I grabbed it and it That was the first time I found out that they tied them shits with them little metal strings, and I'm pulling the mannequin, trying to run out the store, and I end up ripping the jacket, like, half clean off the fucking thing. Like, but those are, like, memories tied to, like, those garments. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm getting too abstract with it, but, like, it's very, it harkens back to a time in my life. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when I came in here for the first time, and I seen, like, the scuff tee, I seen all the tags and shit, and it was just, like, whoo, instantly transported back, bro. I was on the Amtrak tracks on the West Side Highway, on the Fairway rooftop, doing a fill-in. You know what I mean? Like, and it just, it's very real. You know what I'm saying? And like you were saying, like, you shouting out people like Kel, that's like, all right, bro. Like, he's super valid. Like, he was not on the outskirts. Like,
no, Kel was in the thick of it. And Kel also was at the forefront of that culture and that time period that you're talking about that's forever referenced. Like, I came in right after Kel, by the way. Like, Kel, like, you know, I would say, like, 90, 92, all the way to 96, they were on, RFC was on Broadway. And the thing is, like, a lot of those RFC guys don't talk. They don't talk to media. They don't interview. Bro. You know, they don't. So then their narrative is lost, right? So then now what we're going through right now is history revisionism. You have a lot of dudes that weren't there, that weren't active participants, that are talking about a time period that they weren't a part of. But because those kind of, let's say, like, participants, like a Kel, you know, like, they, you know, life has moved on. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a time period, and Kel's a super talented artist. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, he got other shit going on. Like, I can't speak for him. You know, that's my man. But I don't know if he wants to talk about that time period anymore. Right. You know what I'm saying? He was there. You know, like, me, it's like, 94 to 96, I was at the New Eurekan. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my kind of, like, genesis of, like, that's where I met Chris Gibbs from Union. Chris was an usher at Radio City Music Hall with my boy Bizarre. That's my connection to Chris. The first time, it wasn't Union, it wasn't any cool guy shit. It's like, we love going to open mics, we all listen to Stretch and Bob, and this is why we're here. And then that kind of bled into the Ville, right? So, like, 96 is when I got really connected with my boy Bonafide from the Bronx, TCK, and I started running with the TCK guys. And the rest is history for me, you know. So I can never talk about, like, that 94 time period, like, at the Cage or in front of Mickey D's. I wasn't there. I wasn't low down with the raisin in my mouth and all like that. Like, and I would never front because those are, you know, I know some of those dudes. Like, I'll get called out in a heartbeat. Right. So then back to your kind of, like, your first kind of point that you were making, you know, like, 90 to 96 is such a wealth of culture and things that happened for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. Coming out of New York City, right? We're talking about art, fashion, graph, right? That it's almost has become like an infinite well of reference. But the difference between myself and some of the people that you're talking about, I have an idea who you're talking about, because they weren't there, it's not that deep, right? It's a shallow well that they're pulling from. So then it's almost like an algorithm. Like when you go to like your, you know, like your Instagram and you'll see, like, the same four or five photos.
For you.
Yeah. It's like the photo of Goldie and Bjork holding hands and fucking a JA fill-in. And this is like, of course, same tag or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Cool. But like, you know, do you know about Jazz and Easy? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Tabe and Bester, bro.
Yeah, do you know about Tabe and Bester? You know about TFT? Do you know about, which more Too Nice, you know, the dudes from Southside Queens, you know, Bez, you know, rest in peace, you know, Rape TCN, you know, like, what do you know about, you know, trying to get off on, you know, the Ralph Ave stop on the C train? You know, like, you don't, because you wasn't there, you know what I'm saying? Right. So, like, my Queens narrative is very different because I was only three stops in Queens on the A line, and then now you're in City Line, East New York. Right, so it's a different kind of gladiator school, right? I feel like if you survived the 90s, we all kind of graduated from this, like, these different variations of gladiator school. So for me to go from Liberty Ave to West 4th, I had to go through every bad neighborhood in Brooklyn. And I'm not tough. I'm not a tough guy. I'm not a thug. But you got to, you know.
You got to be like, yo.
No smiling for 45 minutes straight to get through all. Yeah, you know, couldn't fall asleep. You couldn't crack a smile. If your boys there cracking, just be like, yo, chill. Yo, chill. Yo, we're about to pull into East New York,
bro.
Chill. We're about to pull into Broadway, East New York, man.
Chill,
don't fuck it.
But we about to hit Broadway Junkie.
Yeah.
Shit's about to get
And it did. That's the thing, it did. You'd be like, fuck, man.
Bro, I remember I tell the story all the time. It's very specific. And it's very, like, it's to me, it encapsulates what us coming downtown was. Mm-hmm. I remember being in a group with my man Taze, shout out to my man Taze, Nace, Cypher, a bunch of writers, and then, like, you know, there's always, like, the people that don't write, but they got a tag, and then the shorties, and da-da-da, whoop. So it's, like, we, like, 14 deep, and we're just walking towards coffee shop in Union Square. Mm-hmm. And there's another, like, similar-looking crew walking towards us. And I'm like, oh, man.
It's on.
Like,
it's on.
Like, the what you write could be, like, life is, that's like a life or death question, bro. Mm-hmm. Cause like, you know what I mean? That could be like, oh shit. Or it could be like, yeah, boo, 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 boo. So we seen these dudes approaching us, right? And I'm like, not getting nervous, but I'm getting active. I'm like, I'm grabbing the fucking paper, the paperweight in my arm. I'm like, yo, in my sleeve. I'm like, all right, bro, I might have to hit somebody with a fucking beam boss over the head with one of these shit, bro. Exactly. Yo, shout out to Taze, bro. He's like the UN. He was just like, yo, Wiz, yo, Les, what up, baby? And it was just like, oh, shit. Oh, you know these dudes. Oh, thank God. Boom. Then we connect. Now we like 30 deep. That interaction of us, of like the fear turning into like, yo, now we mobbing, bro. Like, now we deep. We catching tags. We racking beers in the bodega and shit. Like, I miss that shit.
The camaraderie.
Yeah,
the camaraderie. Because the reality is that within the graffiti spectrum, you have dudes that just want to write and have fun, right? Then you got your, you know, like career boosting kind of like criminals, and then you just got thugs.
Yep.
Like they graffiti is just a pastime when they're not robbing or like beating somebody up. You know what I'm saying? Which is always good to have one or two guys like that in the crew that are just career criminals. Like they always in and out of the system.
You gotta give them a flow. They can't even come up with their own shit.
Here's your
letters, gang. Like this is what you write.
Yeah.
Like,
so, but back to your point. Most of the time, like if you're cool, I would say 9 times out of 10, it was easier to create that. Yo, like, oh, you got the Teddy. I got the Teddy. What's up? You got deals or whatever. Yeah. Oh, yo, you hit my black book. Whatever. Nobody really, to be honest, like nobody really wanted to fight back then. You know what I mean? Like when it really came down to it, like nobody. Like I think the preferred choice was, let's just chill,
let's
get fucked
go
up, and let's go catch some tags. You know, unless you had a knucklehead in the crew, it's like, yo, fuck you,
bitch. Fuck you,
bitch.
Yeah. Bro, it was graffiti. A lot of people don't understand. I'm glad that I'm sitting down with y'all because y'all really understand it. Like, graffiti can get dangerous, bro.
Yeah, man.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, motherfuckers done got boomed behind this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been situations where you get jumped, all kinds of shit. Yep, you get the earthworm on your face, bro, from behind. You know, like, and there was a lot of, like, you know, pain put into that shit. So that's why I take it, like, that's when I see shit like this, I'm like, yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's like, yo, that shit meant something. You know what I mean? Like, all that work you put in. Even though I lost all the flicks in the flood and shit like that, like, yo, I got that. And then places like this kind of, like, harken back to that. It's needed, bro.
Thank you.
It's needed. I just got to adapt.
I appreciate you, man. Well, I think, once again, back to your point, is like the space was built for us. You know what I mean? Because there, all those places that, you know, that you came down to, or I came down to, or even Hugo came down to, they're non-existent.
They're gone. Yeah.
They're gone. Like, you don't, you know, like, we started this Marshall program last year, you know, Alive from Awake New York. Like, high key, not even low key, they're free concerts. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to buy shit. Mm-hmm. You don't even got to give us your fucking email, you know what I'm saying, to get in. And it's like Project Pat, Anicia, Charlotte Day Wilson. Yep. What else did we have here? Styles P. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, Joe Bataan, you know.
Come
just
through.
Pull up. Yeah. All we ask is you bring a good vibe. Don't act like an asshole. Yeah. You know what I mean? And
bro,
we've been lucky. No fights, no fucking, no glass being broken over somebody's head. Like, it's been...
Peace. That's what you need. And that's exactly where I was going next. Like, you do a lot of community shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and again, I feel like that's part of the ethos of the store. Like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like, I feel like that's part of, like, the soul of what you do with Awake, which I do with Awake. So, y'all connection, man, like, you know, I won't say you're older in a bad way, but like, you know.
No, but I am older.
Yeah, older.
I'm older, for sure.
What is like what do you see in Hugo that like you feel like, yo, this is Awake? You know what I mean? Like,
well, to take it a step back, I didn't even know Hugo. So when I first left Supreme, I was asked to do the creative direction for this Undefeated shoot. They did this Air Max project, and I tried to, through a mutual friend, Hugo was recommended to model in it. He couldn't do it. So that's the first time I kind of, like, Hugo was put on my radar, right? I didn't know who he was, you know, like, I was like, oh, this kid's kind of cool. And then fast forward 2 years ago, like a little over 2 years ago, Tremaine. I went to go visit Tremaine in the hospital. He was literally on his deathbed. Mm. Okay. And, you know, Tremaine in classic form doesn't want to talk about him or his illness, but he's just like, how you doing? I was like, well, you know, I'm about to open up the store and fuck, man, I feel like there's a missing piece of the puzzle. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I got our generation down. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like young kids fuck with me. So at the time, this kid Vegas was working with me. And Vegas now is probably like 22, 23. So back then he was a little, you know, 20. So I was like, I got that Gen Z.
Yeah.
But the millennial is missing, right? And ego-wise, you know, maybe 10 years ago, I've been like, fuck them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need them, you know? But now, being older, a little wiser, right? It's like, nah, I don't understand why there's a disconnect, right? And he was like, you should talk to Hugo. I was like, really? I was like, he seems pretty happy at Stussy. Every time I see photos of him, he's fucking like waving the flag and fucking like, really, like smiling and shit. Like, I think he got a good thing going on over there. He was like, nah, call him. I was like, okay. And he was like, and you could tell him, I told you to call him. I was like, cool. Literally, that was it. I hit up Hugo and I was like, yo, let's sit down for a chat. And because my thing, you know, like one of the things that I learned working at Supreme was we don't poach unless you want to be poached, right? So got, you know, throw a little feeler out there. Like, are you happy, Meryl?
Yo,
am I lying?
Facts.
Am I lying? Like,
yeah, facts.
Then my next question is, how are they treating you over there?
Yep.
And that's how I'm able to gauge the conversation. If it's swaying towards unhappiness, well, this is the opportunity I have over here, you know, and making it a serious offer, not kind of like dilly-dallying. It's like, yeah, yo, this is a salary. I'm also offering you points in the company because I want you to feel like ownership. I want you to feel like you have a piece. You're not just working for me, you're working with me. Mm-hmm. That's important for me. When people work for me, when I hire them, right, that they understand that they're working with me. So it's important for me to empower you by giving you something. Part of it, I want you to feel like you really, this is your shit. You know what I mean? Because how many places you worked in the past are you? Well, you're just collecting your check and you're just like, fuck that. Like, Mel, you want to take that jacket? Go ahead, fuck them. Take that jacket. I don't give a shit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
if there's no sense of like,
pride.
Pride. Unity, like, yeah. Like anything. Like, I'm just here for the check, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so then it shows.
And then the other part of that is Hugo's outside. I'm not outside anymore.
That part.
And I think also what I've seen a lot of my predecessors do is not age gracefully in this industry, right? When I was in my late 20s and I was still hanging out at Max Fish, seeing the dude that's in his 40s trying to rap to the same girl that I'm rapping to.
Bruh.
And I'd be like, yo, my man, I know you got at least like 3 kids at home. Like, you need to go. Bro. Tell this old motherfucker, go home. And to me, that is my worst nightmare. For my name to come up in conversation and be like, yo, that dude's washed.
He's washed.
He's washed. He need to go home.
I seen him doing a bag of bags.
Yeah, he was doing this. Yeah,
in the corner. Trying to holler at some trick from NYU. Like, it wasn't happening.
Man.
He's like falling over drunk in front of Donnie Brooks.
You seen his wife? His wife is bad. Like, I'd be fucking her if I was him. Why is he not home?
What? Like, why is he not home?
So never, you know, I've prided myself to do my best to age gracefully in this industry. Mm-hmm. And that was the important part. Because similarly to where Hugo's at in life when he first started working with me is exactly where I was at when I first started working at Supreme. I was outside. I rarely was home. I was at every open bar, every bar, every after hours, you know, getting it in. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was an easy transition because basically that's what I was getting paid to do besides coming up with the, you know, ideas. But it was like, I also need to report what's happening in La Calle. You know what I'm saying? I need to go back and be like, yo, Meryl's that guy. Hugo's the dude, which I'm gonna call it. Such as Zexor is the graffiti writer. Like, we need to seat him. The DJ is Fulano. You know what I mean? Like, so, but I need to be outside in order to bring that information back. Right. And James was smart enough to understand, like, okay, yes, go. But then where I was able to see outside the box is like, why don't I do this globally for you? Allow me to go to London and report. Allow me to go to Paris, Berlin, right. Tokyo, right? And figure out, like, all right, how do we get outside of New York to make sure that we got the Hugo of each city on Smash before they're recognized by somebody else?
Right.
Then it's not just the Hugo, but it's the graffiti writer, it's the DJ, it's the skater, it's the pretty boy, it's the it girl, right? And yeah. I'm making sure that they're getting seeded the thing 6 months in advance, and, you know, that's okay. Hugo, that's your job. That's what I did for 10 years at Supreme.
It was very important for me to for this to be the next thing I do, you know, just because it was time to really take everything that I, you know, bask in, you know, and to do it for a living, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? So, and then to piggyback off what Angela said, also what was very important was that the ownership part, you know, like a lot of people don't know, like, you know, and I got shit for leaving Stussy from like some friends that are no longer my friends and coming to Away because they were like, yo, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I don't own Stussy.
Right.
I'll never own Stussy. Like, that's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's out of the question.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, for me also, the big part was working for a brand that understands my points of views. And, you know, I could go into the office and be like, yo, we need to get Mero eating a chopped cheese in front of fucking the four line. And it's like, all right, cool. Like, Angela's like, all right, I understand. You know what I'm saying? Because we're from this shit, you know? Like, so, yeah.
I need this motherfucker in front of El Peluche. Damn, bro, you see me at 4 a.m. drunk.
But also, you know, what a lot of people don't talk about is because also it's become a lost art, but the graduation of the shop guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's something, you know, from my class of like 2006, our goal back then was like, we all wanted to get hired by Nike. Everybody wanted some kind of Nike job.
Talk about it.
That was like the only option was to get hired by Nike. And like, they would come to town like, yo, you know, such and such, like, yo, we got to make sure we hang out with them and try to get this, you know, I heard there's an opening at SB. And it never happened.
Yeah.
It never happened. So for me to get that opportunity to work for James, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was Haley's Comet. You know what I'm saying? Because me too, I was like, oh, I'm working at Nome de Guerre, folding fucking 300 t-shirts a day. I'm like, I guess this is it. You know what I mean? There was no ownership on the table. I didn't own, people used to assume because I was there so much and I was all, you know, on the front line with that brand. They were like, oh, you must own some of that. I'm like, I don't own shit here. You know what I'm saying? Granted, because they couldn't give me anything. There was already four partners in that business.
Right.
So that was also one of my first lessons in business is like, don't have four partners. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, try to own as much as possible. And then I go to an opposite experience over at Supreme where there's one owner and that's it. You know what I'm saying? But then also learning how to take care of people, you know, when they work well and they're kind of like busting ass, like making sure that they're taken care of. So they're not thinking about anywhere else.
Right. So they don't get the call like, yo,
are you happy?
Are you happy?
Are you happy? Which I'm pretty sure Hugo's got, you know what I'm saying? Like, what I love about, you know, my staff is they snitch. They're, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've had designers work for me for the past, like, yo, Stussy hit me up, or OVO hit me up. I'd be like, go, you know, go do your thing. Like, I don't hate, you know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you right now, the grass ain't greener. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think.
It's just different grass, bro.
It's just different grass, man. Like,
yeah.
That's a fucking fact. Yo, this, like, you said about, you know, aging gracefully. You being outside, you know, I got four kids, bro. Like, as much as I want to be outside, like, I'm outside at the football field. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like, watch the ball. Watch the ball on defense. They're going to go on two. They're going to make you jump off sides. Watch the ball. That's when I'm outside. Like, but I still, the graffiti shit keeps, it's like a disease, bro.
It is
it's
a
like
disease.
Addiction.
There should be a Graffiti's Anonymous by now.
Bro, what?
Because I'll say, unfortunately, there's a lot of addiction. Actually, Scuff wrote his thesis on it, the correlation of addiction with graffiti, right? So it's like, I don't know about you, you know, but I've come across a lot of fucking crackhead graffiti writers.
What? That's like, it's
dust head graffiti.
It's half and half. Like,
yeah.
It's like, yo, you on something that's wild heavy, or you got a portfolio and you're trying to go to Pratt.
Yeah.
Like,
but then also too, there's a bunch of guys in recovery. You know what I'm saying? I've been in recovery for over 10 years. And there's, you know, I'm not going to start naming names, but there's a bunch of us, you know, ex-graffiti, right, current graffiti, right, that also are in recovery. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, they understand Because it's like graffiti is the Venn diagram of all fucked up things, right? It's like, yeah, when we talk about boosting, drug abuse, you know, homelessness,
fighting,
fucking jails and institutions, you know what I'm saying? Psych wards, you know? And unfortunately, a lot of people don't get to the root of why, right? You know, it's like, oh, you know, such and such, oh yeah, he's back at Beth Israel. He's in the fucking psych ward or whatever. And you're just like, fuck, man, like, oh, shit. Man. I hope he gets better, you know? And it's like, when we're in the 40s and we're still dealing with the same shit, you know, it's, yeah, man, it's fucked up. I don't have an answer. I don't have a solution for it.
It's crazy, bro. But yeah. We got to do something. You know what I'm saying? All I do is just keep at least 6 cans in the trunk. And if I see somebody I had beef with in 1998, it might be rekindled.
For me, it's like I have my annual phone call with Mista, and I'm like, yo, I want to go do a fill-in. He's like, all right, yo, I got you.
Yo, fam, talking about rekindling beef, bro, Mista, I love you, bro. Me and this guy had life or death beef.
Really?
From like high school. Like, bro, like, I'm talking about real deal, like, for real. Like, if I see you, like, he jumped me with his crew in the park. I jumped his crew in the park one time. Like, we was going back and forth. Now we've grown men.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, yo, now he'll hit me up. He sent me a flick of a feeling of his that I had ragged. And I wrote like, yo, you pussy, or some crazy shit like that. He's like, yo, real, remember this? Like, LOL. Like, I'm just like, bro, this is crazy. Now that we've grown, we can laugh about this shit. When we was 19, 20, it was like, I'm gonna kill you when I see you, bro, like, type shit. But yeah, bro, like, he's one of them ones, man. Like, he's like taking the torch and like taking it there.
A victory light. A victory light.
Speaking of taking torches places, you are on your second Jordan collab. Awake is on his second collab, or is it second?
This was number two.
Number two
is rap. We're about to go into number three for next year.
Oh shit! Yeah. How do you put that together? Because you were just talking about like Nike and how it's like everybody, every New York kid was just like, yo, we trying to get into Nike. Now they coming to you.
Yeah.
What's that like?
It's still mind blowing. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, if you would have told me to put together a bucket list brands that I wanted to work with when I stepped down for Supreme, like Nike and Jordan are one and two. Number three would be Ralph Lauren, you know? So like, to be able to go to Portland for myself, right? Because like from 06 to 16, I was, you know, I was able to work on every Nike project through Supreme, but that wasn't for me, you know? I was going on behalf of somebody else, right? So it's what the kids say, it hits different, right? It hits different when the meeting's for you. But that being said, like, I still had to show and prove. Like, it wasn't like it was handed to me, you know? Like, that first pitch deck, you know, was like a 40-page pitch deck to, you know, basically convince them why they should work with Awake New York, you know? And then, you know, basically them giving us the airship, like, cool, I'm gonna body it, you know? Like, I mean, that's basically it, you know?
Was that a thing? Did you select that model? Were they like, yo, here, do something with this?
Yeah, yeah. That was the trial by fire. You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah, here you go. And I was like, yeah, but what about a 3? And they're like, oh, what about an airship? And I was like, yo, but what about a 4? And I was like, they were like, here's an airship. I was like, what about a 1? They're like, how about nothing? And I was like, you know what? I'll do the airship.
I'll do the airship. and to your credit, y'all smoked it.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? And now, these 5s, bro.
Graduation, right? You know, airship, high school, you know, we did what we were supposed to do with it. And, you know, we were rewarded, you know. Yeah, I was like, what about a 4? And they were like, how about a 5? I was like, deal. There was no back and forth. They're like, hey, it's the 35-year anniversary of the 5 next year. We think you'd be the best partner for that. I was like, fuck yeah. You know what I'm saying? But then I started panicking because I was thinking about the Off-White 5s and about the Supreme 5s that I worked on. And I was like, damn, those, yeah, fuck. It has to like hit that or be better.
Or be better. How did you, the shoe is like, y'all have seen it, man. Like, if you haven't seen it, then you don't have internet.
Or you're a hater.
Or you know what I'm saying? Or you purposely blocked all the Google search terms. You know what I'm saying?
You turned off your TikTok, everywhere. You turned off YouTube.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everything.
But like you said, like going from the Supreme model to the Off-White model, what did you take from those and say, yo, listen, I'm not touching this, I'm not doing that, I'm doing this instead?
I don't think that was so much the approach for us. What I like to do is kind of turn it all off and then operate in the vacuum.
Right, right.
And just start literally, it's like a game of like, what's like throw it and see what sticks. And that process starts internally. Me, Hugo, Nick, our head of graphics, really just the three of us, you know, and being like, what are the things that we like? What influences, what we like, how do we want to approach this? What do we want to do? You know, kind of similarly what you're asking, like, what don't we want to do? You know, so like, yeah, obviously there's things that like are off the board. Anything that feels or looks similarly to those two, like those collaborations, like off the table,
right.
You know, and then, all right, let's figure out what can we do? And then, yeah, we came up with putting the A on the side of the shoe. And it was just like, yo, if we could get away with this, like, fuck. I was like,
work.
Yo, this is what we're chilling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yeah, that also the rest is history. Once we locked in on that design aspect, everything was just kind of like an accoutrement. It was like, all right,
what do we put around?
What do we put around this? You know, because once again, it's just like we're able to change the outsole of the shoe. Nobody's been able to do that. No one's put actually like a letter on the side of the shoe. And it's not like we're just like, just putting like a sticker on top. We're actually like changing the construction issue, which a lot of people don't understand. And also like keeping true to what was there originally.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's not like we're trying to convince you that it's also some kind of new design. You know what I mean? Like, cause it's all the elements are there of the OG silhouette.
Yeah.
And also that's why it was so important for me to kind of keep true to the other things, like the Nike Air on the heel,
mm-hmm.
the, whatchamacallit, the reflective tongue, you know, the 23 on the opposite shoe. Also, you know, a lot of people don't understand, like we went through like four rounds to get that embroidery right on the 23 and the NY. You know, like we had to go and source the original typeface from the original Jordan 5, like go get the OG one to be like, no, it has to be like this with this thickness on the shadow. You know, because if you look at the other ones, they're like slimmer or taller, you know what I mean? So it's just like all those things were considered, all of it, you know what I mean? And then we also had some other extra things that we wanted to do, but then the price point started getting too high.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, all right, so you gotta make a decision. Like, do you want the custom lace lock? Cause that's gonna add an extra $2. You know, it's like, all right, well, I don't wanna beat people over the head and I wanna still keep the price reasonable, you know? And that's another thing when considering design is just like, I want it affordable. I want people to actually be able to buy it.
Right.
I don't wanna sell a $350 sneaker.
On some real G shit, when the airships drop, you know, I do 7 p.m. at Brooklyn with Melo. He gets all the Jordan shit, yeah, like a zillion years before it drops. He pulled up on them shits, but he had the whole
fit. Yeah, he did the video.
And I was like, damn, I'm hating hard right now. I was just like, yeah. I was like, yo, that shit is tough. I was like, fuck. I was like, yo. Then I don't know who I DM'd. I was like, I DM'd Awake.
You did, yeah, I saw that.
And I was like, yo, I was doing this in text form, like, yo,
yeah. Ha ha ha.
Yo, what's good, baby? Yo, that jacket is tough, you know what I'm saying? Like, I be sitting in front of the building and shit, like, you know, it should be hard, you know what I mean? With no shirt on, drinking some warm Henny.
but also back to that ship, you know, what was more successful than the actual shoe was the apparel.
Yeah.
And that's what really empowered us in a position to be able to get something like the 5, because they're like, oh, these dudes can actually move apparel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the end of the day, you know, we can have a biggest debate or whatever about what Jordan needs and doesn't need, you know what I mean? They can move shoes on their own, right? But the apparel can always use a little push, you know? So then, like that, you know, bleach flannel that we did, that was Japanese fabric. They never done nothing like that before. We tricked out that varsity. It all smoked. It all sold out within seconds. So they were like, oh, we didn't know you could do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool what you did with the shoe, but that apparel thing, that's what we need to talk about, right? So originally, you know, the way we came across the pink colorway is we were originally asked to design some female SKUs for women, right? So we did this whole collection, and then we mocked up a whole bunch of colors, and it just happened to be that pink looked the best for these female SKUs.
Yeah.
Right? And it wasn't, and I kind of at first was opposed to mocking up a pink colorway because I'm like, that's a layup. That's too easy.
Right.
Right? Like, oh, we got to make something for women.
For women. Oh,
color it pink. But then when we saw it, we were just like,
that's tough.
Oh, that shit's hard.
Yeah.
We were like, yo, when we all saw it, and that was just on the monitor, we were just like, oh shit. Like, yo, that's hard. And then when things came down to the final meetings, they're like, hey, we kind of want to move from this direction of, you know, women's. I think we're just going to let you guys do what you do. I don't think we want to do the pink thing. And I was like, and they were like, well, what do you want to do with it? I was like, I'll take it. And they're like, okay. And like, I'll take it as an Awake exclusive. Like, we can share the black colorway, but I believe in the pink, you know? And
sure enough,
those are hard.
And then also, cause I've been getting smoked online because I did this thing with Les from Ghetto Gastro. I brought him out to Queens.
Yeah.
And he asked me, like, what was the pink thing? And I was like, yeah, you know, pink, you know, is a representation of New York now, you know, as part of our kind of like fly ethos, like, you know, pink and purple. Like, there's certain colors that are like, are part of our DNA. And yes, it was started by Cameron, right? But Cameron was never on the mood board for the shoe. So I never, that's why I never shouted out Cam as like an influence for the shoe. But when it comes to like the actual greater influence, obviously. You know what I'm saying? Which in other interviews, I've like, of course, like when I put on those shoes, I want to put on fucking Purple Haze, or I want to put on Come Home With Me, you know, from end to end, you know what I'm saying? Or Dipset Volume 1 through 20, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, you know, like, and it frustrates me. It's like, dude, like, once again, back to your point, I'm like, if you're not from here, of course you're going to say the dumb shit, like, yo, why are you trying to fucking rewrite history by not mentioning it? It's like, duh, I lived it.
Bro,
that... If you were here in 01, like, there's no way that you cannot get around the Dipset, G-Unit, Murder, Inc. movement. Like, it was blasting out of every project window.
Fucking ubiquitous.
Yeah. Right?
And so, to your point, like, I think Cam was the spark, but then, you know... New York City.
The streets took it.
Took it.
The streets took it.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then Nike started dropping pink uptowns. You had the pink, white, instead of white tees, it was pink tees.
You had the linens.
The linens. Shit, like, all this stuff, bro. Like, all right, so listen. Is there something, like a trend, you know what I'm saying, or something that was popping back in the day? Because I have one very specific one in my brain that I never want to see come back. Do you have any?
I don't know. I think let people do whatever the fuck they want to do, you know? Like, I think, like, if dudes want to wear skinny jeans again, like, fuck it, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think, when people ask that question, I'm just like, I don't know, like, you know, like, I don't look at trends, you know? Like, we look at it as, because we need to know, like, what's going to be next and, like, but personally, like, yeah, I don't really...
You want to set a trend instead of be like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, like, I don't, right. I think kids, which is the beautiful thing about, like, the generation under me, is, like, these kids are wearing whatever they want, you know? Like, they're wearing, like, little T-shirts with big jeans, or, like, skinny jeans with big T-shirts, like, you know? Like, so it's like, yeah, let them do what they want to do. Like, I don't think, yeah, trends are for everybody. If they want to follow it, follow it. If they're not, not. So.
Very diplomatic answer.
Yeah, but also think it's very honest. It's real, I think, and that has a lot to do with us being down here. You know what I mean? I would say I don't know if it would be about criticizing any trends that are happening right now, but I think it'd be more about pushing more individuality and confidence. And like back to what I was saying about like what I'm jealous about this generation is the freedom that they have. Like it's expressed through clothing, is expressed through sexual identity, sexual preference, like and through all that. You kind of get like this weird DNA hodgepodge of whatever's out on Orchard Street right now, which I love, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the New York City I grew up in. It's like, I grew up with fucking weirdos, you know, like that's, I'm happy of working. Why I'm the most that I benefited from working retail was working with all the different weirdos from the boroughs.
Bruh.
You know what I'm saying? So like, Because I'm Ecuadorian Latino, you know, they always try to shove me in the stock room, right? And in the stock room is where I befriended all my Dominicans. That's where I got my Spanish, right? Like, so I had my Ecuadorian home Spanish, but then it became the que lo que Spanish from working the stock room, right? But also, like, for example, when I worked at Urban Outfitters, this dude, Angel, who I fucking love, I haven't seen him in years, was a Puerto Rican cat from 165th on the 2 line. Who was into like industrial music.
Bro.
This motherfucker put me onto like Meat Beat Manifesto and like just some weird, hottest shit. This motherfucker had, he was like a Puerto Rican Lenny Kravitz. All right. Damn. And he brought me him. He had the illest, craziest house party when I was 19 years old. And let me tell you something. Once again, I must stress, I'm not a tough guy. I got off that train. It was like 1988 up there. Somebody pulled their hand out through a hole and they're like, you want some curls? I was like, no. Like,
I was like, no. I want to go to Lenny Kravitz. I'm going to Lenny Kravitz.
Those motherfuckers were like, you know, the garbage can with the fire. I was like, what the fuck? Where am I right now?
You just walked into Warriors and shit.
But this motherfucker dressed, top hat, Lenny Kravitz, like 165th, yeah. Two line.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like that's the, so I welcome it. I embrace it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like the whole, that's why people feel like they're at home when they come here. Like, there isn't none of that weird fucking, you know, like
cool guy shit.
Cool guy shit. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or like, just like, or being like anti-gay or whatever. Like, dude, like, just do you, yeah. Man. Like, fuck, man. Just be, you know, like I said, just come on some cool shit. Like, that's all.
Bring the good energy, bro. That's all that's required out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I have one very specific beef with this one garment, and it's always because I was part of it. And it just was not hygienic, man. It was this, remember when motherfuckers were wearing sweater vests? Like, that was like the knit sweater vest, bro. But just the knit sweater vest. Like, no undershirt.
But, like, are you referencing, like, Tyrese? Like, a Tyrese kind of, like, you know, like, who's wearing the sweater vest?
Like
dude, are we talking about, like
everybody.
Tyson Beckford, I think, was another sweater vest kind of
like,
guy.
Yeah, but, like, baggy. Yeah,
like a muscular.
Like a baggy sweater vest with no
under. Nothing under is diabolical, man.
Diabolical. You just making titty sauce under there, bro.
But not also that. Grajo right here.
That's what I'm saying.
This right here turns into grajo.
Yo, you see, bro, that shit, and the piping was always black because they knew, like, the grajo was going to stain your shit. Yeah. Bro, please, put a shirt under, at least. Like, I don't care if it's shapewear, bro. Like, just something to absorb the grajo, bro, please. That's it. They got sprayed deodorant. They got all over
the
body.
That was a deep cut, man. I wasn't expecting
that.
It was a sweater vest with the third rail hat, bro. That was, like, the uniform for a minute. and this is where we announced our third rail away collab. Real culture shit. You know what I'm saying? I glossed over this before because you were talking about, like, you know, y'all processes and how y'all come up with ideas and designs and whatever. I feel like y'all have a relationship where you'll be like, yo, Hugo, what do you think about this? And he'll be like, yo, Angelo, this shit is whack. This shit is whack. Yeah. I ain't gonna hold you, bro. I don't know, bro. Like,
no, it's more like this.
What do you see?
Hugo be like,
he just hits the nah. That's
the Hugo. That's the Hugo.
Like. Yo, and that brings us perfectly into the community shit because that is so Dominican. that's the bueno. Mm. Without the bueno, that's just a. I mean, hey, bro, like. Yo, whatever you think, you know?
A victory light. A victory light.
Talking about community, growing up, Ecuadorian, Dominican, growing up in New York City as a child of immigrants, bro. Like, that is a very, I don't want to say specific experience because, like, it doesn't matter where you're from. If your parents are immigrants, you're a child of immigrants. You know what I'm saying? So that like, experience is, I like to say, similar, not congruent, but across, like, all immigrants. What was it like for y'all growing up?
I mean, for me, I think there was a point, like, when I was growing up where, like, I was like, yo, I'm either going to be really sheltered or I could step out and, like, find freedom and the whatever, like, immigrant experience. But I think, yeah, for me, it was like, I was thankful enough that I went to high school with every race you could think of, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, seeing that and just like coming down here and then like finding out that there's like people like me who are into this kind of shit was like very, very important.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to this high school on math and science on 174th.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah. And so I'm like 47, 42.
32.
So generationally, you're from the generation, I feel like, when they started taking schools, like, I went to Clinton.
Yeah.
And it was just Clinton. Where'd you go to high school?
Bayside.
Bayside. And it was just Bayside.
Yeah.
Like now they're taking like Clinton is just like the Clinton educational campus and there's eight different schools.
Yeah,
like my school, when I went in there, I was like, I thought I was gonna learn about science and mathematics and shit like that. It wasn't the case. Like, and I very early on, like, I'm not shitting on school, but I was like, yo, I don't know if I need this shit. Like, I was like, at one point, like, I was like coming to school just to talk to girls and hang out with my friends. Like, I was like, you know, but stay in school, kids.
Stay in school, kids. Listen, I'm as a former teacher, I can say that there's, you know, and this is like science. Like, there's different types of intelligence, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's like, I don't know, I forgot them because it's been so long. But one of them is like kinesthetic. It's like, yo, is this kid really good at math? No, but he's really good. He understands his body. You know what I'm saying? So like he's very athletic, or he's very coordinated, or he's a very good dancer, or you know, there's different types of intelligence that you know, attach themselves or manifest themselves differently. It could be like, that's to me, that's a type of intelligence, because I got a homeboy that, man, this motherfucker, if you put a Dr. Seuss book in front of him, he's fighting for his life. But this motherfucker knows money and how to like move around, how to hustle, how to get to it. And to me, that's like a very,
it's a skill.
It's a type of intelligence that a lot of motherfuckers don't have. You know what I mean? So that being said, that type of intelligence, like, is that something that was like, not, like you said, like you were a shy kid growing up, but like, you know, you're timid to a certain extent, but like, to do what you do, you kind of have to be outgoing and be like, yo, and welcoming, right?
Yeah.
To like different types of people, and not, like Angela was saying, not look at somebody and be like, all right, that nigga's a weirdo, bro.
Yeah.
I ain't even gonna interact with you because you want some weird shit.
Well, I got retail to thank for that. You know, like working in the shop, that taught me everything I needed to know about being social. You know, like even when I didn't want to go to work and I went to work, I still had to talk to a million people. You know what I'm saying? And that for me was like very important. Which like even now, like I got kids that come up to me and they're like, yo, like how can I get into what you're doing? I tell them every time, like go work at a retail store. Like go work at a cool shop that you think is cool. Go in, drop off your resume, ask them if they hire, and that's where it starts. You know, like everything about me, I learned working at the shop, you know, so.
And Angelo, like there's like a very, you know, there's a specific, every time I come in the shop, I see somebody that looks like me. Is that by design? Were you like, yo, I gotta not necessarily find the next Angelo, but find like-minded people, you know, from the community, from our communities. You know what I mean? Not necessarily kids like, yo, I came from out of art school and like, you know, my dad is the CEO of Boeing and he paid for me to do all of this and I've been getting classical training and da-da-da-da-da, as opposed to a guy like, yo, I'm from 196 and Morris, bro. Like, I write, you know what I mean? I write da-da-da, you know what I mean? Like, I've been doing it for 15 years. Like, I like what you do. Like, I don't know how I'm gonna get involved with what you do, but I know that I like what you got going on. Like, do you kind of like shepherd a kid like that, or is it kind of like more on them to figure out what they want?
Well, one, for the record, I love white people. I love my Caucasian.
Shout out to all my Caucasians.
So I don't want them to feel left out. But I think, you know, it's like a simple kind of like thought ideology, is like go where it's warm. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a coincidence that every time you walk in, there's black and brown kids. Well, my staff is black and brown. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's owned by a person of color. You know what I'm saying? Like, I try to hire as many people of color, you know, as possible. You know, that being said, that doesn't mean I don't hire white people. Of course I hire white people too. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, I always relate it back to my experience coming up in the city. And when I was in the room, whether it be at the Source or the Fade or whatever, there was nobody that looked like me. Simple. And if there was, they were trying to take me out. They were trying to clip me.
Yeah. Highlander shit.
Yeah, like, they're gonna be one. Right? Like, so, like that real self-hater shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so I'm just trying to even the playing field, you know? And then, but also, all the things that attract you to the brand also attract a 16-year-old to the brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the other thing that I started figuring out over the last couple of years is, like, if you do the math properly, somebody that's 18 is literally, their dad is our age.
Yo.
So, like, they're not into Wu-Tang or Nas or Black Moon out of nostalgia. They were actually raised on that shit. Same way that I was raised on Los Iracundos and Los Pastelitos Verdes and all these kind of, like, bolero bands that my mother put me onto that she played in the house, or Leo Dang or Pimpinela, whatever. It's like, that's not nostalgia for me. I grew up on it.
PY in the back crying right now.
Yeah, like, I grew up on that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, of course it makes sense that these kids are into this, because it's, if they were raised right, is what their parents, you know what I'm saying? So, like, for example, like, Vegas, that used to work with me, the first photo shoot we did, he pulled up in a, whatchamacallit, iceberg Mickey Mouse sweater. And I'm like, who got you that? And he's like, oh, my dad used to collect low in high school. And I'm like, who's your father? You know, because the thing is, like, small, right? The circle's small. And he was like, yeah, my father just saved all his high school clothes for me. So, like, he had all the teddies, he had all, you know, like, you name it, like, his father literally saved him his whole high school wardrobe for him.
That's so dope.
And his dad is my age.
That is so
funny. So, like, once again, that Gen Z, that's why they, and this is just my theory, you know, why they're attracted to this, because it's what they grew up at home, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got the flicks with their mother with the bamboos and the baby hair and... You know what I'm saying?
And then with the studded jacket sitting on her lap.
Yeah, exactly. He had the North Face nupsies, matching nupsies, you know, like, with the Cuban and the Jesus, you know, like, yeah. Like, of course, it's a no-brainer.
I'm not religious, man. This is an homage. You know what I'm saying?
It's a no-brainer. But, you know, back to your question that you asked Hugo, you know, for me, it was a different experience because Ecuadorian was unclassified. We were like other category, right? Like, which you got to experience some of that, right? Yeah. So, like, the narrative, the New York City Latino narrative, is either you're Puerto Rican or you're Dominican or possibly Cuban, right? Cubans, they fled New York City in the late 80s, right? Because my grandmother's from the Heights, mm-hmm. and half of her building was Cuban and Polish, right? That was the demographic. Yeah. So then, you know, for me, full circle moment is making sure that the Ecuadorian narrative is told. What does it mean to be a New Yorkino that's also Ecuadorian, that was raised in Queens, that's from New York City? I want to tell that story, right? Because nobody knew it. And also why it means so much to me is because I've never not been Ecuadorian.
Right.
Does that make sense? Because there's a lot of halfies out there, bless them. They were like half Ecuadorian, half Puerto Rican from Bushwick, or half Dominican Ecuadorian from the Heights. And when you ask them what they are, I'm Dominican. I'm Puerto Rican.
Right.
They don't even discuss the Ecuadorian part, because there's a lot of shame connected to it, because they didn't know how to talk about it or describe it, right? So that's why that's really important for me, to inject that pride piece that I never had growing up. I didn't know who was Ecuadorian, right? I don't know who the OG or whatever, right? Yeah. And then lo and behold, I would find out later on in life, oh, such and such is that. I didn't know that. He only claims PR, you know, he only claims DR, you know. So I also don't think it's a coincidence now, like, on Instagram, when kids hit me up, they got the little Ecuadorian emoji and they're fucking,
hard.
I'm like, that's hard, you know, dope. Like, make it, you know. It was almost like a rebranding of fucking Ecuador. Like, yeah, like, we repping our shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is us, you know. But yeah, I've never been down with that code switching shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, like, I've always been Ecuadorian.
Fam, it's fire to see, because it's like you said, like, it's one of the Latino communities that's underrepresented, not talked about a lot. But I feel like, bro, you are that guy now. You're the Ecuadorian New York guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're holding that, like, that flag, that torch and shit. And like we were saying before, like, you know, you purposefully inject it into the campaigns, like the shoots, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, that see, I didn't realize how, like, that I was Latino or Ecuadorian until I went to high school, because my neighborhood, once again, was mostly African-American, West Indian, like a little bit of the Irish kids that stuck around. So I didn't meet, like, my tribe till high school. I met all the kids from the 7 Line. So they were like, yo, come to Junction, come hang out with us. So I was in Corona with the Dominicans, and then I would be with the Colombians on 82nd and, you know, and Ruzi, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's when I was like, they took me in. You know what I'm saying? They're like, no, you're hanging out with us, and we're gonna go to Main Street, and we're gonna put you on. You know what I mean?
Steinway, bro, Shane, ain't going.
Yeah, man. So like that really is when it was like, oh shit, yeah. Like that.
This shit is lit.
Yeah, this is who I am. You know,
community, and nothing is more communal and community based than being a dad, bro. It's literally you are the head of a small community. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like y'all are both fathers. How has fatherhood impacted, which, because you're a newer dad.
Yeah.
And you are, your
my kid, son's 11.
Is 11, right. So we here. Like, we've been in the trenches, bro. Like, we out of diapers.
Yeah.
How has being a new dad, like, forget, like, Awake as a brand, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just impacted your life in general and, like, how you move around. Like, because I told Victor, like, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Victor, you know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, when you have kids, bro, you are never going to sleep 8 hours straight again. Mm-hmm. You are going to eat a lot standing up. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of shit that you took for granted as a, like, non-child-having person that after you are responsible for a life, you're like, oh, shit, bro. Like, naps were cool. You know what I'm saying? Nah, I can't do those.
I have a few answers for that. First things first, like, I'm a late dad, you know? So, like, my son's name is Say. Say came along when I was 46. So all that shit is kind of out of my system. You know what I'm saying? Like, do I necessarily miss naps? Yeah, but I also enjoy hanging out with him more, right? And I would say having a family, having a wife has helped me prioritize my life. Mm. It simplified it, right? So basically, like, if it doesn't benefit my family, I'm not doing it. That's it, no more favors. Like, I'm sorry, I can't jump on a plane to go to a party or a store opening or this, like, unless there's a bag waiting for me. And if you got a bag for me, that's gonna go back to benefiting my family, I'll do it. Because what it is, the most precious and valuable commodity I have right now is time. It's not money. It's just simply time. So if I'm jumping on that 8-hour flight to go to London to do the favorite thing, then that's 3 days that I might miss that first tooth, the first step, the first crawl, you know, explosive shit. Like, I don't know. But I wanna be there for all of it. And I do know for the last 16 months, I've been there for every benchmark. All of them. And that also is breaking the cycle within my own family. Like, my father left when I was 6 years old. I don't have much of a memory with him. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he changed any fucking diapers. He's definitely one of those old school Ecuadorian dads. Like, eso trajo de mujer. You know, like, I don't
know. You're not gonna right now.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think both my grandfathers are turning over in their graves because I changed diapers in my house. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'd be like, yo no. You know, so, yeah, man, like, my son knows me. Plain and simple, you know, he sees, he says, dada, you know, like, there was no night nurse, there was no none of that shit, you know, like, I was in the trenches with my wife, waking up, making sure he got a bottle, so by the time he hit 30 days, he knew what I smelled like.
Yeah. You doing all this shit, like, the skin to skin, like, yo,
I did the skin, yeah, man.
You smell my nipples, bro.
Yeah, like, he knows. Like,
daddy is, bro.
Yeah, man, like, yo, that is the best, you know what I'm saying? Like, the best that he runs to me when I come into the door, you know, like,
bro,
you know?
That shit is like crack, bro.
Yeah, man.
Like, I got, you know what I'm saying? I got three boys and my daughter's my youngest. And when she, it's especially her, like when she comes running and it's like, yo, daddy's home. And I'm like, bro, it's all worth it.
Right. It all makes sense.
Man, yeah.
It all makes sense.
And like, to your point, it's like, yo, bro, I'm not doing this unless it's going to benefit this household,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, and what we got going on over here.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, what was like, you know, because you're a little older, you know, 12.
And that shit made me grow up quick. Like, I was 21 when I had my kids, so it was like just quick, man. I had to get my shit together very fast. And it was hard at the beginning, you know, like it was really hard, but yeah, I mean, he's 11 now, so it's a bit easier, but that shit was crazy. Like, that shit was crazy.
And but the dope thing about it is that he's 11 now.
Yeah.
So in like a few years, he's gonna be like, cause my kids be doing it. Yo, oh, you know, oh, back to school night or parent teacher conference and shit. Like, oh, yo, that's Hugo, man. Yo, that's Hugo. Yo, that's Hugo. Yo, that's Hugo from Awake, bro. Yo, you didn't say your pops was Hugo from Awake, bro? Yo, bro, can I get a bag? Yo, can I get like a, yo. Now you're getting links. You know what I'm saying? Yo, fucking, yo, Jose asked me if you could hook him up with a 5.5.
It's actually crazy because he's into this, like, now he knows what he likes. So like he'll text me and be like, "Dad, can I get this? Like, can I get the?" My cousin's daughter also, my cousin Felipe, texted me like, "Can I get the Awake Jordan 5?" So I was like, "What the fuck?" Like, so the kids know now, you know. Like, and she's 12, you know. So,
when did that turn? Because to me, that was so ill watching it happen with my kids when they go from like the Carters. And like the children's place, like just whatever, blah, 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 shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just the random, like, yo, I'm a cool skateboard dinosaur, whatever the fuck. And to like, yo, I actually like this. I like purple jeans or like I like this or I like, you know what I mean? Like, what is it like seeing that as a dad? Because to me, it was like.
I love it.
Twofold.
Yeah, I love it.
You love it and you hate it at the same time because it's like, damn, bro. Like, this nigga used to take me to Target and we used to walk out of there with a whole fit for like $50. Nigga, now I'm like, goddamn.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday his mother called me and was like, his phone is messed up. He wants a new phone. And I was like, okay, great. I just got a new phone. I'll give him my old one. And she's like, no, he wants the new one. And I'm like, what?
He don't want to hand me down.
I'm like, what? And then I was like, yo, put him on the phone. And he's like, no, because you know the new one has better protection. And then he started naming that. And I was like, you know what? All right, man. Like,
they hit you with the specs.
Yeah, I was like, if you know that much about the new phone, like, whatever, you know?
But can we take a quick pause? Because now that we're talking about new drip, there's something that me and Hugo wanted to give you as a present.
Oh, shit.
Brandon, do you mind? Brandon's the store manager.
Okay. Yo, shout to Brandon, bro.
By the way, for the record, this wasn't from one of those canceled orders. Everybody says that, you know, that there's a conspiracy theory. This is a seating pair. Thank you, brother. Because actually, you know why? You know why this present is being given to Meryl? Because Meryl actually buys shit.
Yes.
Yeah. And he doesn't hit me up for no free shit. That's the rule of thumb. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, you know, really supports the brand. There's a handful of y'all that can afford it. And thank you for...
Bro, and that's the shit.
Because we got bills to pay. A lot of people assume that we don't have bills to pay. We got bills to pay. So thank you.
He's a mean. And yo, Adrian, Avery, Amari, no. These are mine. You're not borrowing them to go to get ice cream with Shorty. Sorry. Because they get to that age now they fit. Yo.
Como huele, como huele.
A good smell right there.
That's no huele como grajo.
Puro sazón. Puro sazón. But yo, honestly, bro, like that's. Thank you for saying that because that is so real and important.
It goes a long way.
And it's like, yo, if I fuck with you and I fuck with what you're doing, what better way to show that I really fuck with what you're doing than pulling up and being like, yo, Brandon, you got this in the XO? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll take a large. You know what I'm saying?
And also for the record, and. Pardon me for speaking for Hugo, too. We're both extremely petty, and we see everything. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, me
like,
too,
we're,
bro.
Like, we're always like...
I'm right here.
We're always kikiing, like, yo, you see this motherfucker asking for this? You motherfucker don't buy shit. You know what I'm saying? But then it's like, yo, Meryl got the real tree fan. Yo, that shit is dope. You know what I'm saying? We got to look out for him. You know,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yo, and that was the shit. Like,
We clock it all.
Funny, because like, I was going to wear that today, and I was just like, damn, bro, I got photographed in that shit. I was like, I got coming with it, something different. And I pivoted at the last second, but I was like, damn, bro, I don't feel right. I was like, I probably should have got dressed. We should have did a, me getting dressed in here.
Before. I know, man. Do a little style
maybe
out.
Next time. Yo, MTV, House of Style. You know what I'm saying? Live from Awake. You know what I'm saying? Yo, Angelo Baque.
Si, señor.
Hugo Mendoza.
Ya lo sabe.
La gente dura. It's your boy, the Kid Merrill, the Human Direct Flap. This is Victory Light. Why they call you a Human Direct Flap, Merrill? Because I keep it wavy, baby. You know what I'm saying? This is another banger episode of the most important show on the planet.
Facts.
With only the most illustrious, important guests in the world. You heard? So stay right there. And, you know, if you haven't subscribed yet, you're an idiot. You know what I'm saying? But run this
smash.
Show.
You know what I love to say? Smash.
Smash the subscribe. Smash that like.
Subscription.
Yo.
Este es el show más bacano.
El show más bacano del mundo. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, brother. Yeah, Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Oh, shit. Long time coming, man.
A victory light. A victory light.